Welcome to the GIST podcast. TechWatch is launching a new report called Low Carbon Computing, which looks at how UK colleges and universities can reduce their carbon emissions to meet government targets. In this podcast interview, GIST's Rebecca O'Brien is joined by Gaynor Backhouse, Director of TechWatch and co-author of the report.
Can you share why this report has been commissioned?
Well, TechWatch's role is to provide a horizon scanning for GISC and the sector. So whilst there has been some state of play work undertaken about what universities and colleges are currently doing, there was also a recognition of the need to start thinking about what the sector should be doing, if you like.
So why is it important that UK colleges and universities actually reduce their carbon emissions?
Well, the obvious reason is the Climate Change Act and the legally binding targets that will come out of it. There are different targets for different sectors, of course, but education as part of the public sector will have more stringent targets than other sectors. So the pressure's definitely on.
So why do you think that the sector is actually more energy intensive than others?
Looking very broadly at it, there are two main areas of particularly university life that have particular implications for climate change. Firstly, there's travel. Staff tend to undertake a fair amount of travel, and of course some students come from very far away. The main thing which we cover in the report is the data intensive nature of university work, particularly in areas such as data centres.
So what is it that in particular, have you got any examples that you could share about that data intensive work?
Well, high performance computing, for example. I mean, that's mostly a university thing rather than a college thing particularly. But huge data sets that need curating, managing for the long term. You know, that's quite energy intensive, that kind of stuff.
So for what actually are the main findings from the report?
Well, the main findings are that while there are some short-term quick hits that institutions can implement to improve their energy efficiency, in the long term, these are just not going to be enough. You know, I mean, ultimately, the sector is going to have to pull together through things like shared services, which Janet is kind of the poster child for, and also look at how it can start to generate its own power. In that respect, HE in particular should be a pioneer. You know, they should really be leading the way in developing new technologies, for example.
In the media recently, it's been claimed that the world's temperature hasn't increased for 10 years. So why does the education sector need to look at it now and how it can be greener?
Yes, well, I mean, there are all sorts of ways of tackling this question. And one way of looking at it would be to say, well, you know, what do you mean by no increase? For example, do you really mean that it's not increased very much, so it's practically nothing? In which case the answer is, well, you know, it might not have increased by very much, but it's those tiny amounts all adding up since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, which is a long time ago, that are actually, you know, causing the problem. The trouble is that there will always be people who will try to deny that climate change is happening. And really all I can say is that I don't think we'd be embarking on a national programme of legally binding reduction targets if the science wasn't unequivocal about the changes we need to make. And that's the starting point of the report, really. We don't debate whether climate change exists or not. We start from the premise that we start from the Climate Change Act and the legal responsibilities that will fall out from that.
The report looks to the next 100 years, which is obviously a long time. What practical steps and policies can UK education put in place now to achieve the reductions in the future?
Well, I think the main one is serious planning. In the report, we've prepared a roadmap which lays out some of the targets that the sector will have to hit. Now, those targets will probably span the working lives of current staff and their successors. So the planning is something that will have to be handed on from one working generation to the next. And, you know, that obviously requires a lot of foresight.
And within that, I guess there are obviously issues about interoperability of systems and how does that information flow from one generation to the next. Does the report look at that as well?
Well, yes. I mean, the report looks at something called enterprise architecture, which is a way of sort of planning in a kind of structured, standard way. And it looks at planning across all aspects of the business of education. So it looks at processes. It doesn't just look at technology, for example. The technology is almost sort of just the end output. It looks at all the mapping business processes, looking at how to align what people do with the processes that need to be in place with ultimately the technology that drives those processes or produces those processes. So that we do actually talk about that in the report as a standard way of planning and communicating the vision, if you like.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to a JISC podcast. For further information, please visit www.jisc.ac.uk. Thank you.